This is Gabriel Wrench with the Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Monday, February 17th, 2020. I really hope you had a great Lord's Day, and I hope you're ready to hit the ground running Monday morning, and I hope this news brief catches you up with what happened over the weekend. Conservative Baptist Network launched. If you've been following any number of the Southern Baptist Convention infighting over the last year or two, here is some good news. It really is. Good guys are rising up to the challenge. The Southern Baptist Convention has been getting woke and played over the last couple of years, and leaders like Al Mohler have largely offered up, at best, an anemic response to the problems plaguing the SBC. So men like Tom Askell, good friends of Tom, and Jared Longshore are leading the charge with their organizations like Founders Ministry. And just this past week, the Conservative Baptist Network just launched to add to the faithful resistance. I know the men behind it, and I'm very grateful for them, and I'm praying for them in all this. According to the Conservative Baptist Network's website, here's their purpose. The Conservative Baptist Network is a partnership of Southern Baptists where all generations are equipped, encouraged, and empowered to bring positive biblical solutions that strengthen the SBC in an effort to fulfill the Great Commission and influence culture. The network affirms the longstanding Baptist beliefs as expressed in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. The network affirms the inerrancy, supremacy, and sufficiency of the Bible in all facets of life and application. The network affirms religious liberty and encourages Christians, individuals, and churches to influence the culture by engaging in public policy process and demonstrating their patriotism. The network rejects various unbiblical ideologies currently affecting the Southern Baptist Convention, such as critical race theory, intersectionality, and social justice. The network is committed to seeing the SBC function biblically, efficiently, and strategically, believing the convention entities and leadership are accountable to and encouraged by the autonomous local churches that cooperate together. Responses to this launch have been all over the map, but here's a smatter of Twitter responses that I'm going to read for you. One pastor tweeted, I'm not even going to name his name, he's not worth it, but one pastor tweeted, "This new Baptist network thing is about love of Trump and being butthurt about Paige Patterson. Don't be fooled." Al Mohler tweeted, not really a negative response, but Al Mohler tweeted, "The real network of Southern Baptists is called the Southern Baptist Convention. It's going to meet June 9th through the 10th in Orlando. I look forward to joining you there." Woke Dwight McKissick, if you know this guy, Tom Askell debated him at the last Southern Baptist Convention on women pastors. Dwight tweeted, "The new so-called Conservative Baptist Network is openly, staunchly Republican. They are upset that some messengers opposed Vice President Pence addressing the 2018 annual session in Dallas. Because a number of messengers refused to hear Pence, they now want to ensure never again." Well, since Friday, more than 2,000 people have signed up for the Conservative Baptist Network email list. And if you're in the SBC, I would encourage you to sign up to their email list. Go to conservativebaptistnetwork.com, sign up, support these brothers. They're fighting the good fight. I'm encouraged to see resistance in the Southern Baptist world, and it's something that we aren't really seeing in the denomination I grew up in, the Presbyterian Church of America. There's been little resistance to the gay sexuality identity movement coming into the PCA, but it's good to see my Southern Baptist brothers fight, and I hope and pray that something happens in the PCA similar to this. Let me get you updated on Hunger Games 2020. I have a smattering of updates for candidates for you. First, let's hit on Breadline Bernie. The Democratic establishment does not like Bernie. Man, they don't. Bernie is too socialist still for the establishment and a threat to the party's actual existence. Also, if you remember, Bernie had for the longest time ran as an independent in Vermont and stayed that way for the longest time. The latest establishment kerfluffle happened when Bernie Sanders called Bill Clinton's former lead strategist, James Carville, a political hack. So James responds in a podcast interview by saying, quote, "That's exactly who the expletive I am. I'm a political hack. I'm not an ideologue. I'm a purist. He thinks it's a pejorative. I kind of like it. At least I'm not a communist." So there you go. The establishment openly calling Bernie a communist. Fantastic. New York City Mayor Bill, our nickname for him is Hot Dog de Blasio, endorsed Commie Sanders this last week. while not one CEO from the S&P 500 has endorsed him. So there's that for commie Bernie. In the meantime, Vice President Joe Biden is focusing his efforts on South Carolina and not Nevada. This means Biden has all but given up on Nevada and is betting his whole campaign on South Carolina. If Biden wins South Carolina, he will only have one state before Super Tuesday, which is March 3rd. Biden's chances are really getting worse by the day. They really are. Mayor Bloomberg, on the other hand, has spent over $200 million on his campaign, and this has been almost exclusively his own cash. Pretty much his own cash. $200 million of your own budget going to buy your election for president. He's trying to buy his election, and now reports have surfaced that he is interested in having Hillary Clinton as his vice president. Imagine this. Imagine if Bloomberg wins with Hillary as his VP. Don't be surprised if he gets suicided while serving as president. Pinko Pete. Let's get a Pinko Pete update. In 2000, Pinko Pete apparently won an essay contest in which he praised Bernie Sanders. Let me read you a snippet from his essay in 2000. Quote, "Fortunately for the political process, there remain a number of committed individuals who are steadfast enough in their beliefs to run for office to benefit their fellow Americans. Such people are willing to eschew political and personal comfort and convenience because they believe they can make a difference. One outstanding and inspiring example of such integrity is the country's only independent congressman, Vermont's Bernie Sanders. Sanders' courage is evident in the first word he uses to describe himself, socialist. In a country where communism is still the dirtiest of ideological dirty words, a climate where even liberalism is considered radical and socialism is immediately and perhaps willfully confused with communism, a politician dares to call himself a socialist? He does indeed. Here is someone who has looked into his own soul and expressed an ideology, the endorsement of which, in today's political atmosphere, is analogous to self-inflicted gunshot wound. Even though he has lived through a time in which an admitted socialist could not act in a film, let alone hold a congressional seat, Sanders is not afraid to be candid about his political persuasion." So this is Pinko Pete. He won this essay, and this is an essay he submitted. He won it in 2000, praising Bernie Sanders, praising his socialism, and well done, public school system. Well done. Michael Avenatti. According to CNBC, disgraced lawyer Michael Avenatti was convicted Friday by a jury of all three charges related to his efforts to extort up to $25 million from an athletic apparel Nike giant in what a top prosecutor called an old-fashioned shakedown. The verdict in U.S. District Court in Manhattan came 2 years after Avenatti gained widespread notoriety for his representation of porn star Stormy Daniels in her legal disputes with President Donald Trump. The bombastic attorney, who briefly flirted with running for the Democratic presidential nomination, faces two other federal criminal cases in this spring related to alleged thefts of millions of dollars from clients, including Daniels and other serious charges. Avenatti has two more cases still pending in New York and California. The reason why I bring this up is because in our interview with David French on our East Coast tour, David said he is basically a never-Trumper. One of his reasons for this is because Trump is, according to him, a chronic liar. David went on to give us Stormy Daniels as an example of one of Trump's lies. Now, I am open and willing to call out Trump when he lies. I have no problem with that. And obviously, the president should not lie, should not break one of the Ten Commandments. But I'm not going to take Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, as evidence that Trump lied. The world has no standards of justice, no conscience, and will run any play in the book to get their way, to get power, to get money. Christians should be very wary when the world is all of a sudden concerned about lying or being winsome or nice or what constitutes as evidence and facts and so on. If anything that Christians have learned this last year with the Judge Kavanaugh hearings, with the Trump impeachment trial, with Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels and so forth, is that the world will do anything to get power. The world will do anything to take you down. The world will lie no matter at what cost. And so we should not believe them when they present some sort of evidence or present some sort of lie. We need to verify according to the Bible standards. The Bible is our standard for what lying is. It is our standard for how we should be speaking and engaging culture. And it is our standard for justice. Don't let the world play you in this. Fear God and be wise. Trust that God's word is sufficient for everything. And laugh when the world talks about morality. Laugh when the world talks about lying. And as I already said, this is not to say that we don't admit when we lie or when we sin, but but we know what repentance is. We know what confession of sin is. We know what it means to disobey God's law, and we know how to deal with it, and that Jesus is the only one who can deal with all our sin. And so don't get played by the world when they sit there and try to claim some sort of moral high ground in this whole, societal warfare here. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com, or on our brand new app. Just go to the App Store, type in Fight Laugh Feast, and hit download. Support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club at fightlaughfeast.com and get access to classes on parenting, Christian business principles, God and government, and backstage interviews with people like Vody Bakum, Doug Wilson, James White, David French. We also hope to meet you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com to sign up for our conference email list. Registration is actually open now. Club members get $100 off, and regular registration is only $199, only $200. Have a great Monday.